toward the end of Perek Vav, the very, very end, where it says Pasuk Chavav, it says Vayashba Yoshua Be'isi Lemor. Yoshua swore at that time, saying, Orra Yishu L'Pnei Hashem Asher Yakum Uvanos at Yerazos is Yericho. Cursed is the man in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that gets up and tries to build the city, Yericho. Bivchori Yasdena Vitzir Yatsu Toseh, with his Bechor, his firstborn, he's going to try to found it, and with his youngest one, he's going to set up the doorways over here. Okay, it means the following. They were not allowed to either build a city on the spot where Yericho was, or build up another city and call it Yericho. Both of those were included in this curse, and the reason seems to be, the reason why, is because this city was so evil, and they wanted to make it as visible as possible that when they came to Eretz Yisrael, they took over the land completely. They weren't allowed to rename a city Yericho. They weren't allowed to put a city on that spot. It had to be an everlasting sign that they had destroyed the city.
That's
when they went in. Meaning, no, the first thing you do is you make the cornerstone. That's the yesod that they put inside there. The second thing you do is you make the delasah, the doors for the different houses that you put in there. That's like the last thing. I shouldn't say second. The last thing you do is that. So, even if you start, don't complain. You're going to lose somebody at the beginning. You're going to lose somebody at the end as well. So that's the idea behind it. Also, he wanted the walls of Yericho to stick out from the ground. Like we said last week, there were ways of seeing just from the walls that were inside the ground. You could see them on top of the ground itself. And even today, the walls of Yericho still stick out from the ground. You can still see them. That's the reason why he wanted to keep it out over here. He didn't want any glory whatsoever. There was a man by the name of Chiel. Chiel lived during the times of Achav and Elio Anavi. Achav, the king of Israel, and Elio Anavi. Chiel was a relative of Achav. He was also a general in his army. He assumed that he could build on the original site and call the city something like Yericho itself. He said, the reason why I'm not going to be cursed for it and why nothing's going to happen to me is because I'm not going to call Yericho with a vav. I'll call Yericho with a hey. Ah. And if I call Yericho with a hey, then I'm going to get around the curse. He was absolutely wrong because not only... Exactly, but he didn't know that. And therefore, because of that, when he started, he darshaned it differently. Darshaned that you can't rename the city Yericho. So I didn't. I named it Yericho. That's all I did. So unfortunately, our Viram...
I
don't know. It could apply to anybody.
The
Arabs, etc. Yeah. The Arabs, okay. I would assume it applies to anyone. I would assume. Aviram, his Bechor, died when they set up the founding stone. He lost every single one of his kids. After that, until finally, on the last day, his youngest son, Shaguv, also died. When he was sitting Shiva for Shaguv, Elio Anavi came to visit Chiel. Right? He had already lost all of his kids, and Achav was there at the same time. Elio Anavi didn't want to go, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, you must go to be Menachem Avol by Chiel. So he said, Elio Anavi said, I don't want to go. There's no reason why I have to go on over here. Kadosh Baruch Hu said, no, you have to go and do whatever you need to do there. Already giving him a decree to be able to go through. He found that Achav and all of his officers were sitting there and they were discussing this. And they said, how is it the decree of Moshe Rabbeinu didn't come true, but the decree of Yoshua came true? Elio Anavi said, what do you mean? Well, the decree of Yoshua came true because I lost all my kids. But Moshe Rabbeinu said that if you don't do my mitzvos, then I'm going to stop the rain. Vatsaras Hashemayim Elo Yematar. But there's rain all the time. I don't do his mitzvos, and yet there's still rain all the time. Elio Navi said, okay, no more rain. And he swore that he would take away the rain, and he did. And for the next 3 years, there was absolutely no rain whatsoever. It was all because of Elio Navi, and that's when all the stories happened, etc., when they went through. But that's from what happened after Chiel had built up the city of Yericho. Unfortunately, a very, very terrible thing for everybody over here. Now, it says in the beginning of Perek Zayin, although some people have it as the last pasuk in Perek Vav, Vayeshem is Yoshua, Vayishama b'chol aretz, Hashem was with Yoshua, his fame spread throughout the land itself. Everybody knew who he was. Yericho was not just a big city. Yericho was the city that was known as like the king of Tuma, the king of astrologers, the king of everything. And when they went down, it was bad for everybody. Also, they didn't have Racha Vazona to go to anymore. So now they didn't have a person that they would be able to speak about all these different things. Yericho was gone. V'im'alu b'nei Yisrael, so it says in Pasuk Beis, V'im'alu b'nei Yisrael ma'al b'cherem. B'nei Yisrael sinned. They violated the ban that Yoshua had made. V'yikach Achon ben Kami ben Zavdi ben Zerach l'mati Yehuda. Achon, the son of Kami, son of Zavdi, son of Zerach for Mati Yehuda, he took minacherem from the ban, from the stuff that was in the city itself. V'yicharaf Hashem b'Yisrael, b'nei Yisrael, Hashem was angry at b'nei Yisrael over here. Now, The reason why Achan thought is that he was going to be okay is because he said, I have a very powerful and respected family. My family's there, and that's why he mentions his name, Ben Carmi, Ben Zavdi, Ben Zerach. He wasn't worried about anything. Even if I get caught with the ban, no one's going to turn me in because they know that my family is a very important family and they're not going to worry about it. And he was right. The tribe, the Shevet, knew that he had stolen something, but they protected him. They didn't want anyone to know what was going to happen in this case. But anyway, Yoshua knew nothing about this. So in Pasuk Gimel, it says, Vayishach Yoshua Anashim Yericho Ha'ai. Yoshua sent men from Yericho to the Ai, Asher in Beis Oven, right by Beis Oven, Mikenel Beis El, east of Beis El, V'yamar Aleim Leimor. He said to them, saying, Alu V'raglos Ha'aretz, spy out the land, V'yalu Anashim V'raglos Ha'oi. They went and they spied out the land. This is the fourth case of spying that we have in the Torah. Two of them have been very successful. Obviously, the first one was not. Oi was the name of the city, or Ai was the name of the city itself. But Yeshua, Yeshua, they came back to Yeshua, and they said to him, Al Yalko La'am, don't let everybody go in. Kalpayimish, O Kishlosh Zalafimish, Yalu, let 2,000 or 3,000 men go in. That would be a good thing to be able to go through, 2,000 or 3,000 men. The Yakoza Ay, let them destroy the Ay. Al Tiaga Shamas Kolam, don't weary the whole nation by going there. Kimatema, they're so small. The Alamin Am Shama Kishlosh Zalafimish, about 3,000 men ended up going up, but they ran away from the Ay itself. By about 36 men were killed. By Yirdefun Lifnei Ashar, and they chased them before the gate, Adashvarim, all the way until the city called Shavarim. By Yakum Bamard, and they hit them all the way down when they were down the slope. And the hearts of the people melted, and there was like water. They had no idea. Again, Yoshua had no idea that the ban had happened. He did not realize that Nevuah had left him. He didn't realize that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had withdrawn his protection. He assumed when he failed to receive a prophecy, he assumed that they were now under their own natural abilities and that they were going to have to fight the war in a natural way. Yericho was miraculous and the rest of it would be natural. That's what he assumed. That's true, but he never thought to think to himself. He knew what he had to do. There was a tzivoy from HaKadosh Baruch Hu to destroy. So he went the next natural way. He had no reason to believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wouldn't be with them. They had just experienced unbelievable miracles. So he did everything that was right over there, and that's that itself. Now, these two spies did not do like Kalev and Pinchas. They didn't, yeah. They lost the battle. Yeah.
They didn't send enough men.
I don't know if that was the problem or that they just got scared enough that all the people started running backward. Another big issue is that Yoshua was not with them, as we'll see in a second over here. These two spies were not like the spies before who went into Rachav's house and went around. These two spies went straight into the city. The Jews were on such a high right now with what happened at Yericho, they sent two men into the Ai and they just walked in. And when everybody looked at them and said, what's this guy doing? They just walked in and said, hi, we're spies. We're for the Jews over there. We're wondering what the city is like because we're going to take it over very soon. They weren't worried about anything. They weren't worried about anything whatsoever. And they weren't detected. Nobody cared about them. Nobody said anything whatsoever. And therefore they said, we don't have to worry about anything. If you send the whole army, the Canaanites are going to think we're weak and that we don't know how to fight wars. Let's send 2,000 to 3,000 men, right? Then we don't have to worry about anything, right? We don't have to worry about anything. Everything will be fine. We're not worried about anything over here. That's that. But all of a sudden they were just overcome by fear. They were afraid. They had this all happen to them. They were just scared out of their minds and they couldn't tell why. When he went up to them and said, what do you think happened? They said to themselves, we don't know. We have absolutely no idea. We didn't think we did anything wrong, but all of a sudden we felt afraid and like we had to run away. They literally turned in panic and fled away. Now there's Machlokas, who exactly they killed. Some say they killed 36 men, but if it was 36 men, it's weird that it says Kishloshim Vishesh Ish, like 36 men. Instead, they say it was a man that was equal to 36 men. That man was Yair ben Menashe. Yair ben Menashe was a man who was equal to half of Sanhedrin. He was from Sheba Menashe. He had conquered Chavos Yair single-handedly up earlier. He was extremely wise. That's why he's on the Sanhedrin and considered like 36 men of Sanhedrin. He was extremely powerful, and he died right over here. That's what happened over here. It could be that it's because everybody else ran away. Yair ben Menashe was one of the only people who stayed fighting, and therefore they all concentrated him, and they were able to kill him. But that was that. This is not a punishment. This is not a punishment. The fact that Achan did what he did, right, is a natural ability where Bnei Yisrael had a protection around them, which didn't allow anyone to die. And when Achan did what he did, it took away the protection. This is a natural occurrence. It's like a natural consequence of someone doing a sin. So instead of looking at it as, wait a second, Achan sinned. Why does Yair ben Menashe die? Achan sinned. Why is all Bnei Yisrael being punished for it? Although it's true that there's Achdus and Klal Yisrael, and there's Arevim Zebazeh, we're responsible for one another, this is a natural occurrence, that when the protection goes away, anyone could be killed. That's the idea behind it. So don't think of it as like, it's all crazy when it goes into, you know, when we went through this. This is what had to happen in that case. And Pasuk Zion says, Vayikra Yoshua Simlosav, Yoshua tore his clothing. Yipol upon Avarti, he fell on his face to the ground, lifting Aaron Hashem in front of the Aaron of Hashem, out of Erev until the evening, Huvizikne Yisrael, V'yalu Afra Rosh, and they put dirt on top of their heads themselves. Falling on your face in prayer, says the Gemara, can only be done if you know you're going to be answered. If you don't know you're going to be answered, then it's an extreme form of gaiva. An extreme form of gaiva, because it's as if, like, I'm going to fall on my face and I'm not going to get up until HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes through. Choni HaMa'agil can do that by making a circle around him and not leaving the circle until it rains. Chavakuk HaNavi can do that in order to save Klal Yisrael. Yoshua can do it, and Moshe Rabbeinu can do it throughout the Torah. But nobody else is allowed to just fall on your face and expect to be answered. We're not on the level of somebody like Yoshua that I know of. There might be other people like them, but those that I know of.
Left Yoshua at all?
Why didn't Nebuah leave? That's the idea of Arvus. It was almost like a sign that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was trying to show him, Yoshua, something's wrong. But Yoshua misunderstood the sign. He thought the sign was, okay, so I got to work on myself naturally. He misunderstood that what it really was is, you've lost divine protection. You've lost that hashkacha that I had beforehand. That was the problem, and he just didn't see it. The reason why they put dust on their heads, to invoke the merit of Avram Avinu, who said, Anochi Afer Ve'Efer, I'm dirt and dust. They wanted to put that upon us and say, we're going to do this for the sake of Avram Avinu itself. It says in Pasuk Chas, Vayomer Yoshua, Aha, Hashem Elokim. Lama Avar Tahavir is Amazaz Yarden. Why do you bring us over the Jordan River? You're putting us in the hands of the Amori to destroy us. Luo Alnu. If only we would have davened or remained over there, we would have lived on the other side of the Jordan River. We didn't have to be here. You brought us over here for a reason. And now we're scared out of our minds. Who knows what's going to be in the upcoming wars? All the people are going to come up against us. We just lost to a tiny little city. Who knows what's going to be? It says, Bi Adonai, my master. Ma Omar, what can I say? Now Bnei Yisrael have turned their necks upon their enemies. All the people of Canaan and the people that live in this land, they're going to turn to us. They're going to cut off our name. What will be with your great and holy name over here? Never have we worried. Yeah.
This is a natural occurrence when you're fighting. This is the first time they have to deal with this. Right? Mm-hmm. Because they were in Anania covered before.
Correct. Not the first. They fought against Sichem. They fought against Og. Those were huge battles outside of Eretz Canaan, right? Outside of Eretz Yisrael itself. They did fight a war against Midian.
There wasn't an Anania covered.
They had an Anania covered, but not with them when they fought the war. They went to Sichem and went to Og. Although there is a Rokeach that says that. But no, normally no. They went to Midian. They fought against Midian. They fought against Amalek when they left Mitzrayim. It's not the first war they fought against, but it is the second battle that they had in Eretz Canaan, which scares them. They'd assume that it was going to be a little bit more, right? They'd assume that. And Yoshua also was willing to be Moser Nefesh. He said, why are you punishing them? Punish me. You don't have to let them die, Yerub and Menashe die. Let me die. I don't need to be around here. So it says in Pasuk Yud Aleph, Hashem answered, V'yom Hashem Yoshua, Kumlach, get up. What are you falling on your face for? Okay, I've accepted your tefillos already. You didn't have to daven a lot. Right? You know exactly what it was. You should realize already what happened. Chata Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael sinned. The Gam Abru is Brisi Asher TV Yisrael Sam. They were over on the bris that I made with them. The Gam Lachum in Acherim, and they also took from the Acherim. The Gam Gunvu, and they stole. The Gam Kicheshu, and they lied. The Gam Sam Bichleim, and they put it in their Kalim as well. Vel Yuchlu Bnei Yisrael Lachum Lifnei Oyveim. Oyref Yifnu Lifnei Oyveim. Right? Although they themselves, they have never turned before their enemies before. Kel Yil Acherim. Lo Usiv Li Osim Acham. I will no longer be with you. Im Lo Yish Tashmidu Acherim Yikir Becham. Unless you get rid of the Acherim between over here. So the first thing is like this. I don't understand, Yoshua. Why are you sitting here davening to me, and yet you didn't fight that war? You have a job, Yoshua, and I realize that the eye was a small little battle. And sometimes you'll see that in sports games. You'll have a sports team that takes a night off thinking about their upcoming opponent that's a really big opponent. They'll forget about the little team that they're playing right now, not realizing that any team could beat them at any time. That's something that happens to every team, baseball, basketball, football. They'll take lightly this upcoming. Yoshua, you should have been at war. You should have been there with them. And that's the first bit of Moser he gives you. Kum lach lamazatanofo alpanacha. You're falling on your face now. You're doing this now. You should have fought with them. And if you would have fought with them, this never would have happened. Nothing bad would have happened over there. Your own schus alone would have saved them if you would have been with them. And nothing would have happened at the eye itself. From that point on, by the way, Yoshua always led them in battle. There was not one battle that Yoshua did not go into. This was the only one in Eretz Canaan that he didn't fight with, right? That was the only one that ended up happening. And then he also said, I'm not going to tell you who it is. Yoshua asked him, who was it? And he said, Bnei Yisrael sinned. It's Bnei Yisrael as a whole. You want to find out because you want to punish him, etc. You can use the Urim V'Tumim in order to do that, the Aron Kodesh to be able to figure it out, right? But you have to realize, though, even when one man sins, when you're with Arvus right now, when everybody's responsible for one another, all of Bnei Yisrael sin. Everybody. A sin, if even of just one person, to a certain extent, is everybody over here. And you should know, even though he sinned, he's still a part of Bnei Yisrael. Even though Achan sinned, he's still one person in Bnei Yisrael. He is not left completely over here. That's the idea behind it. Now, there's a bunch of things over here that are mentioned. It says, by disobeying the words of a prophet, he was over on one Avera. By taking some of the property that was supposed to be burned, he violated the ban. He sinned also by taking gold that was supposed to be given to the Mishkan. That was a third sin altogether. Those are the ideas of what happened over here, and those are the averos that he did. If he would have gone up, and Yoshua went up to him and said, you sinned, and he said, you're right, I did, I'm sorry. If he would have repented immediately, everything would have been forgiven. But then he denied it, and that was number four. He lied and said, I didn't take it whatsoever. He also violated Shabbos. Because when was Yericho fought against? Yericho was fought on Shabbos itself, and he stole the stuff on Shabbos, which means he took this stuff on Shabbos and then carried it outside of the city. There's also people that say that there was a sixth sin over here that's not mentioned, and that sixth sin is that he raped a Nara Murasa, a girl that was young and engaged in the city of Yericho, which should not have been done, and therefore he was over on that as well. And Pasuk Yudalit.
This fellow went to the
I'm sorry? The gold. Some of the gold. Some of the spoils went to the Mishkan itself, but most of it was burned along with Yericho itself.
If someone who had never met him...
Someone who never met Achan.
Would he also... Why does he fall under Arvus?
Arvus. Oh, I hear what you're saying. For all of Klal Yisrael, it's a hard thing to understand, but everyone is responsible for every other person in Klal Yisrael. So even though I, myself, was never with him, not there, as we said before, it's not as much of a punishment as it is, it's a consequence. That means the divine protection goes away from Klal Yisrael, which means anyone could die from it. That's really what it is. It's not that you're being punished for it, it's that automatically we're all punished because something is lost. Think of it that way.
Well, because I'm responsible for him? No.
The answer is yes and no. We all are responsible for each other in giving musar, etc. In this case, you can't be at fault because you didn't know about him whatsoever. Yeah. Nonetheless, you're still held under the same line. If somebody does something, like for example, Chiel and Achav sinned, right? By saying that thing. So Eliyahu and Navi took away the rain. Why am I being punished? I've got a farm. I'm going to be starving for the next 3 years. Why? Because Chiel sinned? No, this is what automatically happens. It's automatic divine protection taken away, which causes other things to happen. It's the cause and effect. The effect is that Bnei Yisrael were without rain. That's the idea behind it. Pasuk Yudalit, Kum, Kadosh Za'om, make the people holy, said HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'amarta, and you should say, Yiskad Shulamachar, be holy tomorrow, ki ko amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael. This is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Cherem b'kirvacha Yisrael, there is Cherem amongst you Yisrael. Lo sucha lo kum lefnei oyvecha, you will never be able to get up and win against your enemies. Ad asircha macherem b'kirvacha, until you get rid of the Cherem. Then ikraftim b'boker l'shitechem, and then get everyone close to your Shvatim in the morning. V'ayah shevet asher kedenu Hashem, the shevet that is caught by God, yikra l'mishpachos, bring them close by every family. V'amishpachos shel kedenu Hashem, the family that is caught by Hashem, tikra l'batim, bring it up a corner of their households. Bring forth people. The one who's captured, he should burn in a fire. Him and everything he has. He was over in the Yisrael. He was over in the Nevelah. This is not like Srefa. Srefa, normally you take that burning hot, you know, piece of lead and you put it down his throat. That's for only two things that you do in the Torah. Bas Kohen Shizinsa and Isha Ubita. This is not like that. This is Mamish Srefa, burning him at the stake. And by Cherem, you're allowed to do something which is a little bit different over here. And this is only revealed to Yoshua alone. The people knew that something was going to happen. They knew that something was there, but no one else knew about this. And the reason why is because Yeshua didn't want to reveal anything, because what might happen? The guy might not show up. Wouldn't that be obvious? If you knew you were responsible, Yeshua calls everyone together, right? And all of a sudden says, we're going to find the perpetrator right now. Then obviously the guy's not going to show up. The guy's not going to be there. So Yeshua did not tell everyone what he's doing. He just instead passed them by the Urim V'Tumim itself and stuff like that. That's going to be enough.
It was a general rule.
Yeah, That was sort of, so to speak, let's get everyone together over there. That was the guilt that was revealed, right? This guilt that came through him, it was going to be in front of everybody that's around there, and that's that. Okay. By Yashkam Yeshua Bavoki, he got up in the morning, Yaakov Yisrael Lushvatov Yelachet Shevet Yehuda. Shevet Yehuda was caught by the Urim and Tum, by the Aron Kodesh, whatever it was. Yaakov Yishpachas Yehuda Yelachet Shemishpachas Zazarchi. Yaakov Yishpachas Zazarchi Lagvarim Yelachet Zavdi. By Yaakov is based on Lagvarim, they took in all the house of Zavdi, by Yelachet, I'm sorry, Achon Ben Kami Ben Zavdi Ben Zarech Lamate Yehuda. Everybody was right there. I would assume that when Shevet Yehuda got caught, all the people brought Shevet Yehuda forth and did not let them escape. Because obviously Achon would think to himself, uh-oh, now I'm getting what's going on. Right? But they did not let them escape, and therefore Achon was brought in front of everybody else, and that's that. So that's what happened over here. Either Yehuda was picked out on the breastplate, it called out somebody, it lit up when somebody went by, I don't know. It could be they picked lotteries, where they put something in, and one guy picked out Cherem, and therefore he was caught. I don't know exactly how it happened, right? But that's the idea behind it. Achon was a tremendous, should have been a tremendous tzaddik. He had very great forebears, the people that had given birth to him, and therefore he was supposed to be living up to his standards. Unfortunately, he didn't, and therefore, even though the sin was somewhat small, he was killed in a horrible way. V'yomashu'al Achon bini, my son, simna kavod l'Hashem Elokei Yisrael. Give kavod to Hashem Elokei Yisrael. V'ten lo todah, admit to him. Don't lie to me. Because immediately, as soon as Achon was caught, he said, this is garbage. There's no Adam here. I don't know what this is over here. Someone had to pick out the lot that said Cherem on it. So why did it have to be me? Maybe it was somebody else. Immediately Achon started going on and go through there. So first Yehoshua said, you cannot challenge the validity of the lots. We're going to need the Gorelos for when we divide up the land, and I can't have any arguments made about them. We know you did it. If you admit it, you'll make a Kiddush Hashem. If you don't admit it, you're going to continue to make a Chilul Hashem, and it's going to be really bad for all of Klal Yisrael. It's going to be a disgrace to God's name. What are you willing to do? What do you want to do over here? A massive fight broke out at that point. Achon saw that there was bloodshed happening between the Jews because of his stubbornness to admit. He got up and he said, fine, I'm sorry. I don't want any other innocent people to die. I'll admit to what I did. There was literally infighting happening where Shevet Yehuda is protecting Achon and everybody else was fighting Shevet Yehuda. That's how bad it got. And Achon said, Vayan Achon is Yehoshua Vayomar, Omna. However, I am the one that sinned to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I did this and that. By the way, I didn't just violate the ban here. I violated the ban back by Moshe Rabbeinu as well. When we were in wars with Moshe Rabbeinu, I also took stuff from over there, and I didn't see anybody getting punished, so I figured I could do it here as well. Said Moshe Rabbeinu, you were punished, but Klal Yisrael weren't. Now, because of Arvus, when we cross over the Jordan River, everybody is going to be responsible. I'm sorry? That is correct. Yehuda knew about it, and Yehuda was around. There were people in among Achon's family who knew exactly what he had done wrong, and therefore everybody was going to be responsible for this in some way, shape, or form. That's the idea of it. But again, because if he would have atoned for it immediately, if he would have said, I'm sorry, immediately, he would have been forgiven. By this time, it was too late. People had already been killed for him. He had already denied it. It was bad. Once that happened, it was too late. The word amna is sort of like amen. Amen means, yes, it is so. So Amna, he's like, yeah, that's true. This is true, exactly what I said over here. I was over on everything. The reason why it says Amna with a hey is because I was over, being over on a cherem was like being over on all chamishe chum shetero. It says, but I'm sorry? Can you
kill someone if they...
No, no, absolutely not. The only reason why this is going to be okay over here is because he was caught by the lottery before he admitted to it.
Why would the lottery be?
Because the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, whoever gets caught gets burned by the fire. That's what he said before, so then you have no choice in that case. Well, we will. But Ira b'shalal, Adaras Shinorash Echot Achas. I saw this really nice cloak, right? Umasayim Shkolim Kesef, 200 silver shekels. Lashon Zav Echot, a huge tongue of gold. Chamishim Shkolim Mishkalo was 50 shekel its weight. V'achmadem, I desired them v'echochem, and I took them in him tumnim ba'aretz, v'socha aliva kesef tachtel. They're hidden in the land inside my tent, and the kesef is underneath it. All the silver is underneath it over here, right? It's my greed. That was what happened over here. But now you already see there's no way he did this by himself. There's no way he picked up all this stuff and was able to take it without anyone seeing it. How do you pick up a 50 shekel kesef weight of gold, right, and not have anyone see it? He had a shinor cloak. Like, all of a sudden, they saw him go in, and he comes out. It's like a guy going into, like, a, you know, like a shopping mall, like, coming out, like, dressed, you know, with his suit on top of his suit on top of his suit. Where do you get that stuff? Oh, I came in with all this stuff. Clearly, he was taking it from it. Shinar is an area of bavel. Right? So he took this cloak that was right over there. That's the idea behind it. So there was a problem over here. Okay.
Wait, they were going to burn him whether he did or didn't confess, right?
I'm sorry? Yeah, they were going to do it no matter what. He said, at least make a Kiddush Hashem, because otherwise people are going to deny that the Goro was true, and they'll say, Achon never did it, and he killed somebody innocently. He said, you don't want that to happen. Admit what happened so that at least people will say, okay, this is 100% true.
Is he over on making Kiddush Hashem if he doesn't?
For sure. Menachal Hashem Barabim. Because he wouldn't admit his sin and he caused everybody to think the wrong thing. That's a Chol Hashem Barabim. Can't get much worse than that over here. Also, if you notice over here, he only took the best stuff. That cloak, by the way, says the Medrash, was the cloak of the king of Bavel. The king of Bavel had a house in Yericho. He had a little house in Yericho, and he left that cloak there, and that's what he took over here. It was an awesome thing that was over here. Some say that everything he took was also idolatry, and therefore he had taken something that was a Avodah Zarah here as well, and that's that. As soon as he realized that he had done it, Achan did full tshuva. You know what he said when he did full tshuva? Well, if Yoshua said, Aleinu l'shabeach, when they entered inside the city of Yericho, Achan said, Al kein nekava l'cho. Al kein nekava are the Rosh Yetevas of Achan. He was the one that created Al kein nekava, and that was made by him himself. It's pretty cool. Vayishach Yoshua malachim v'yarutzu Allah. Yoshua sent out messengers. They ran to his tent. They ran. Why? Because they were afraid that somebody was going to get there first and try to take away the stuff. V'nei t'muna ba'alo. It's all hidden there. V'akes tatah. The kesef was underneath. V'yikachum mitokah. They took it from the ha'ol. V'yivum al-Yoshua. They brought it to Yoshua. V'el kol b'nei Yisrael. V'yat tzikum l'vnei Hashem. And they spread them out before HaKadosh Baruch Hu itself. He didn't want to get anyone a chance to be able to go through. He beat them to the ground, Yeshua. That's v'yat tzikum. He literally beat them to the ground and crushed them into little tiny pieces and said, For this, we lost 36 men. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what's the point? Pasuk Chaf Hey. Vayikach Yoshua Zacham and Zarav Ezek Esav Esad Derez Esh Lushon Azav Es Banav Es Bin Osav Es Shorav Es Chamar Es Son Es All of Es Kosher Lo. Yoshua took Acham and Zarech, the silver, the cloak, the gold, his sons and daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, everything he had. B'chol Yisrael Yimon Al B'nei Yisrael V'yalu Oso Emek Achor. They came to an area called the Valley of Darkness. V'yomer Yoshua Machar Tanu Yorkoch Hashem. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have troubled us today. V'yirgum Oso Kol Yisrael Aven. And at that point, everybody stoned him. V'yisrael Osom Ba'eshen. They burned him in a fire. V'yisrael Osom Ba'avanim. And then they stoned him again. They made a pile of stones until today. Kadosh Baruch Hu took away his wrath, and therefore it's called Emek Achor from that point on. Okay, so that's what happened. Achan was told by Yoshua at that moment, your chelek of Olam Haba has been restored. Because you did tshuva, you're going to go up to Olam Haba as well. It's interesting, Achan and Zimri are compared in many different ways. It says, interesting, the children of Zerach were, in Divrei Hayamim, Zimri, Esan, Haman, Kalkol, and Darda, five in all. Zimri is referring to Achan. The reason why he's called Zimri is because he, just like Zimri, wanted to do something great to show Bnei Yisrael what he could do, thinking that, no, you can take stuff for yourself and improve upon it and make it something great. He had positive intentions in some way, shape, or form. He was wrong, and he was killed just like Zimri was as well. But ultimately, he was also forgiven like Zimri was forgiven. He did tshuva at the end of his life, and that's why it's going to be okay. He's compared to Haman, Esan, Kalkol, and Darda. That's Avram, Moshe, Yosef, Etzadik, and the Jews in the Midbar, Dordea, which means he was just as great as any of them, and therefore he was able to go through. He did do a vidui, he did mechila, he did everything he was supposed to do over here. The reason why he was supposed to be stoning over here, right, stoned more than anything else, it's a little bit of a Shiloh over here, is that the stoning was supposed to be a sign of somebody that did something completely wrong. Although he didn't deserve the stoning, it was to get everyone involved so that everyone would see that this is the wrong thing to do, and then they burned him. Some say it was the relatives of the 36 men that had died, or the relatives of Yarev Ben Asher who stoned him, and then they set him on fire, but the real thing was over there. Others say, remember what we told you before? He either did Nara Murasa, he was over on Nara Murasa, or Shabbos. So he was stoned for that and burned because Hashem said he had to burn as well and therefore was there. What happened with his kids? Machlokas. Some say his kids were executed along with him because either they helped or they had to be killed to be able to make some type of a thing, you know, to say they were either accomplices or his minor children had to be destroyed with his property, and that was part of the tzivoy of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even though it's something we do not understand whatsoever. Others say they were brought along to witness the executions, they wouldn't act like him, and Yoshua took them for himself and raised them as his own children from that point on, trying to show them that Achan had done the wrong thing, but he would be with them for the rest of their lives. Obviously, it would be quite traumatic for the kids. I would assume that Yoshua did everything he could. If they killed, it was even more traumatic, right? But either way, right, that's what happened over here with Achan, and that's the end of Perek Zion. says, Hashem said to Yoshua, do not worry. Take everybody of war with you. Go up to the Ai. I'm going to give in your hands the king of the Ai, his people, his city, and his land itself. Okay, Nevuah immediately returned to Yoshua. He was going to prepare to be able to go up ahead over here, right, to be able to go over through. Now, hold on a second. I get this. But why is he afraid? Why is Yoshua afraid over here? Shouldn't he have bitachon and HaKadosh Baruch Hu that everything's going to be okay? He had to say, Al tiravi, al techas. The answer is, this is natural. He just lost in this place. The city of Ai is going to be remembered in the minds of the people as a place where they lost horribly. They were worried about this. They didn't know. It's like somebody who's recovering from an illness. You're coming from an illness. You feel sick and weak. You don't know if you're going to be able to do it again. That was the problem over here. So here's the pshat. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Yoshua, don't worry. I've given you not the Melech Ai, the Malach of the Eye. I'm going to take the Malach of the Eye, I'm going to throw him down from the heavens, I'm going to bind him before you, and you're going to destroy him, and you won't have to worry about anything whatsoever. Yeshua would have to be there, and the entire army should be present. Not that the entire army had to fight. There's no way they'll be able to fight. Ai is not a big enough city for them. But they'll all be present to see what was happening, to show how they were going to go through over here. Now, there was a natural strategic position that Ai had that was very difficult to overcome. I'm going to put this in pictures right over here just to make it a little bit easier. There's a mountain over here, a mountain over here. B'nai Yisrael all over here. The Ai were right over here. They were sitting on top of a mountain. It was a small enough city that could sit on top of the mountain that whenever you had to go there, you had to climb up a mountain to get there. That gave them a great strategy within their position that they could just throw things down, right, and get you to come out. And they had a huge city, so you had to, not number one, climb up the mountain, and number two, climb up the walls of the city. It was very difficult to do so, very difficult to get there in the first place. So what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had to do is make them make a mistake. The Ai had to make a mistake. So Pasuk Beis, Basizla Ai Lamalka, Kasher Asizla Yericho Lamalka. You're going to do to Ai and their king what you did to Yericho and their king. Rak Shlalu Vehemta Tavozu, but you can take their shlal, their spoils, and all their animals. You can take it Lachem. Simlecha Oriv La'ir Me'acharel. All I'm going to tell you is make an ambush. I'm not going to tell you to do anything more. Now, obviously, could HaKadosh Baruch Hu have just knocked down the walls and allowed the mountain to come down, allowed the Jews go inside there? Yes. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show the people around that it's not just going to be through miracles. They're going to win not just through miracles, but through natural ways as well. And that's what's going to happen over there. It says, V'yakum Yeshua v'cho'am v'mocham ala losa ay. They went up to the ay. V'yivchar Yeshua shloshim alaf ish, gibori achav yishlachem laila. He took 30,000 men, strong warriors, and he sent them at night. And he said to them, commanded them, saying, Ruatam Orvim Le'ir Me'achrei Ha'ir, I want you to go behind the city. Don't go too far away from the city. You have to be ready for my signal. Now, there might be spies from the Ai. Be very careful that you don't get seen, because if they know there's an ambush behind them, then they're not going to leave the city whatsoever. Do this. We're going to come close to the city. When they come out to greet us, like they did originally, we're going to run away. Look what's going to happen. Yoshua and his people. Yoshua and the people are going to go down here, sit in the valley, and start climbing up the city. When they start throwing things, they're going to run away. And they're going to all run away, and they start running. Instead of running this way, they're going to act as if they're confused and continue running into the valley. You get what's happening so far? The people of the Ai are going to see Yoshua, and they're going to see they're running the wrong way. Let's go after them. They're going to leave their city, go down, chase after Yoshua, knowing they were going to hit a dead end eventually, and they would get them in the valley. That's what the people of the Ai were going to think and what they were going to do. But Yatzachwenu, they're going to come after us. Adati Kenu Osamin here until we take them all out of the city. Kiyomu Nelson Lefanenu, they're running away. Kashar Bishon like the first time, and Nelson Lefanenu. And we'll run away from them. V'atem takumia oriv. At that point, you get up from your ambush. Vo rasham asir. You'll drive out the city. Nesan hashem alakechem yedchem. God will put it in your hands. From the other, they're all right over here. V'yipatov sechem asir. When you capture the city, tatzitzu asir be'esh. Immediately set it on fire. Kidvar hashem tasu. Do what the word of God is. Ru'u tivisi as tivisi eschem. Behold, this is what I'm commanding you to do over here. When they see it, they're going to come out. It's going to happen. Do not have mercy on anyone in the city. Remember, they would kill every single one of us. Get into the city and kill everyone there, even though it's going to be women, children, and older men. Get in there and destroy everybody that's there. And just say, this is the last time that something like this is going to happen. Yoshua sent them. They went to their ambush. Only if HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells you to do it.
I was saying, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a reason. Even because they would kill all of you, so too, you should kill all of them.
Yeah, that's not the reason given in the pasuk. That's the reason given by Rishonin. I'm going to go over the reasoning of the pasuk is simply put, Kidvar Hashem Tasu. I have nothing else to say about that. Okay, and that's that.
Yeah, but why would it mean that? I don't know which Rishonim gave it.
Yeah.
But
the Ralbag. Yeah.
The Ralbag says it's a dumb reason.
Yeah. Why? Because if they would kill you, you have to be able to kill them first. You don't think somebody's coming to kill you, you have to get them first. That's the Gemara and Sanhedrin.
So kill the men.
But it's the same thing with the women and kids.
Women and kids would kill you?
It's possible. Those women did have the ability, right? Especially with the kids themselves. The kids, for sure, were going to grow up. Yeah, I don't mean to say this, but look at the Palestinians. Right? I don't mean to say it that way, but like, yeah. We're not required to, because that's not the way of war, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has never commanded us to do it, so we would never do it. Right? You wouldn't do such a thing, because we have mercy on other people. But nonetheless, I get the idea. If that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants, we do it. Right? And even if the reasoning is bupkis, it doesn't make a difference. We do it. That's the idea that we have to say. Pasuk Tes, Vayishlachem Yoshua Vayochol Amarav. Yeshua sent them, they went to the hiding place, Vayishu Ben Beisel Ben Ai. They went between Beisel and the Ai, Miyom La Ai, west of the Ai, Vayolan Yoshua Balaila Ahu Besochon. Yoshua slept that night among the people. As we said before, Yoshua every night now learned with the people, wanting to be with the people all night long. He learned together with them being around over here. If you look, by the way, the word Hama'arav is the same letters as Avraham. In the schus of Avram Avinu, this is going to happen. So they did have the ambush. It was in the schus of Avram Avinu they were able to do it. Vayashem Yeshua Bavoker, he got up early in the morning. Vayivkor, his Ami counted the people. Vayalhu v'ziknei Yisrael l'fnei Ama Oy. Him and the Zekanim, they went and led the people toward the Ai. Chol melacham asher yitol olu v'yikshu v'yavo neged ha'ir. They came opposite the city. V'yachnu mitzafon la'ai. They came from the north of the Ai. V'agai b'enu l'b'en ha'ai. There was a valley between them and the Ai. As I said over here, right over here, they stood in the valley over here. So it says over here, Vayikach mechamachal meshes alofami. She took about 5,000 men. Vayasmos some ore ben Beisel ben Ai. He took about 5,000 men and made them an ambush between Beisel ben Ai and Miyom Leir. Now he already had the 30,000 men over here. What was the 5,000? This was another 5,000 because he was worried maybe those 30,000 wouldn't do it. And he was also worried about the city of Beis El. He took 5,000 men and stood them in between the Ai and Beis El, that if Beis El comes chasing after us, you guys take care of them.
He was worried, but
he knew he wasn't going to lose. That didn't mean he wouldn't lose Jewish lives. He did everything he could to make sure that people wouldn't die. So it says, he put the people, all the camp, north of the city, and the other end on the west side of the city. And then he went to sleep within the valley, as we say, because everything over here. There were a couple other opinions over here. It could be the 30,000 were too far away to see Yoshua make a sign, and therefore he had the 5,000 people as a sign for the sign, so that the 30,000 people would know when to be able to go up over here. Maybe they were in a closer position to see the signal. I don't know. If we're looking at it like this, it probably was over here. So he put the 5,000 men here, right? So that they would close over there, but they would also, as they're running away, they would see it, and they'd be able to see the people right over there, and they'd be able to go through. There is a map that would they go through over here, but that's possible. It could be that their job, the 5,000 people were over here, that he put 5,000 people here, and he stood over here, so when the eye came out, they would follow this way, and therefore they would surround the eye throughout the valley and take them that way. It could be the 5,000 people were sent to attack Beis El directly kill Beis El while we're destroying the eye over here. That could be over there as well. It could also be that these were scouts. There were scouts from the eye trying to figure out what was going on. Maybe the 5,000 men were to destroy the scouts or to fool the scouts into thinking that's the ambush, not them. And that the 5,000 people are the people they're worried about, not the other size as well, right? Others say that he was looking at the army and saw how large they were. He was afraid, you know what? The eye's not going to come after us if we have that many people. So he sent some of the people away thinking, okay, it's smaller now. Now it might be a little bit better when it goes through over here. It could also be the 30,000 men were not known by anyone except for Yoshua. The 5,000 men, he told them what was going on, and they told the rest of the people, don't worry, there's going to be an ambush that happened over here. There's some awesome stuff that happens over here. There's one thing about Rav Yosef Cairo over here, a great story, but we're not going to go through it over here. Okay, and that's that. They also wanted to make sure that there would be no surprise attack. He spent the whole night up with the people, studying Torah, waiting to see if the eye would make a sneak attack on them at some point in the night. So when the Melech Ai saw this, they woke up, they came out to greet them, him and his people, at the appointed time in front of the plains. You know what he didn't know about? He had no idea that there was an ambush on the other side of the city. The king of the Ai said, they're scared of us. He also was a king of astrology. He looked up at the stars and saw that, oh my gosh, we're going to win. everything's going to happen over here. So there were people that were really into the astrology itself, and he knew exactly what time you should fight. Fortunately, HaKadosh Baruch Hu destroyed that astrological sign, and therefore everything was going to be okay. Some say he did see it in astrology, but he messed up. The astrology was that if they stay close to the city, the Jews will never be able to defeat them. But if they leave the city, they're going to lose. The king of the Ai misread it and thought that they could chase after the Bnei Yisrael, and he did so, and therefore was destroyed. He got fooled by what he had seen in the stars. It says, Vayinagu Yoshua v'chol Yisrael lifneim, Bnei Yisrael and Yoshua, they were all plagued from before them. Vayinusu d'archam yibor, they ran away through the desert this way. Vayizaku kolam asher be'ir ler dofakorayim, everybody in the city came after them. Vayir dofakoray Yoshua, they chased after Yoshua, v'yinatku b'ni'ir, and they all left the city. V'lonishar ish ba'ai, not one man stayed in the Ai base El. Asher lo yatu akor Yisrael, they all came after Bnei Yisrael, v'yazu l'si'ir, and they left the city pesucha, wide open. Vayir dofakoray Yisrael, and they chased after Bnei Yisrael. So self-assured they were that everything was going to be okay, they thought, why should we even close the doors? Why should we even close the doors? They left the doors wide open over here. And that's that. It could be, what? Oh, okay. We'll stop with this right over here. Pasuk Yudchas in Yotes. V'yom Hashem Yoshua Niteba Kidona Shem Yodcha La'ai. Shem said, Yeshua, stretch out the spear you have toward the eye. Keep Yodcha Atnena. I put them in your hands. V'yit Yeshua V'kidona Shem Yodcha La'ir. He stretched out his spear that he had to the city. V'orid Kamaherun Komo. The ambush saw them. Saw him. V'yarutsu. They ran, Kintos Yadu, when he put out that hand. V'yavoa ir. They came to the city of Yokadua and they captured it. V'yamaru V'yatisu Az'ir V'esh. They quickly lit up the entire city in fire. The Malach was already destroyed. He showed his dominion over the Malach of the Ai itself, and therefore he was not worried whatsoever. A supernatural strength came to him, and therefore it spread to everyone who was waiting in the ambush itself. They felt it. So even though they couldn't see Yoshua, because Yoshua is in the valley, they couldn't see him lift up the spear. They felt it and immediately went in and were able to go through and destroy them completely. Yoshua learned from Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Moshe Rabbeinu lifted up his arm in the war against the Amalek, right? And they won the entire time. So too, he lifted up the spear and he kept it up the entire time when that happened. Okay, we're going to stop right here on Pasuk Chaf and Perek Ches. All right, we'll stop right over here. Shkai Chari, we'll see you.